From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Hundreds of immigrants from all over the country arrived in Washington by bus this week. The so-called Freedom Ride was intended to highlight the plight of an estimated 5.5 million illegal migrant workers in the U.S. Hispanic immigrants do some of the hardest and most dangerous jobs in America. The number of immigrant laborers who have died on the job more than doubled over the past decade, as workplace fatalities for every other group, whites, blacks, and U.S.-born Hispanics, declined. NPR's John Burnett reports on a workforce that's often treated as disposable.
One of the numbers in the government's tally of this year's workplace fatalities will be the case of Daniel Cruz Romero, 34 years old, from Veracruz, Mexico. He worked on the late-night cleaning crew at a food processing plant in North Austin called Michelangelo's Gourmet Foods. They make frozen Italian dinners. At the time of his death, the workforce was composed mainly of undocumented Mexicans. Early the morning of June 13th, Romero was alone cleaning an industrial meat grinder. Inexplicably, the machine was running, and his body was drawn into the spinning blades. The coroner's report put the cause of death as total fragmentation injury, a term borrowed from military forensics. Travis County Assistant Medical Examiner, Dr. Elizabeth Peacock.
Based on the clothing we found, we think that maybe a part of the protective gear, the apron or whatever they wear, may have gotten caught up in these blades. There are some questions about how this machine could have been turned on while he was cleaning it. There's supposed to be safety features that protect individuals when they're in situations like this.
Deaths like Daniel Romero's are becoming more common in American workplaces as illegal immigrants take the riskiest jobs that no one else wants in food processing, agriculture, and construction. 577 immigrants died on the job last year, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Today, nationwide, the rate of workplace fatalities among foreign-born Hispanics is nearly 50% higher than it is for U.S.-born employees. Bill Beardall is a public interest attorney in Austin who's represented migrants for 25 years in a variety of cases.
If a worker's injured, they can just throw them out as though they were an expendable part of the machine and just plug another worker right back into that spot and use them up. And that gives the employer a kind of power that we wouldn't tolerate for U.S. citizen workers.
Fearful of detection and eager for an American paycheck, illegal immigrants work hard, they work long hours, often for less money, they rarely complain, and if injured on the job, they're often unaware of their rights. Dr. Joseph Fortuna with the American College of Occupational and Environmental Medicine says that because undocumented laborers are so easy to take advantage of, some companies apply a double standard.
The industries that are using these workforces benefit very greatly by the low costs that are involved and probably do not want to spend the money that it would take to bring them up to speed in terms of training and protections.
Michelangelo's has declined to comment on Daniel Romero's death, pending results of ongoing civil and criminal investigations. The company released a statement denying responsibility for the tragic accident and highlighting its strong commitment to the health and safety of its 411 employees. But inspection records at the Federal Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA, together with interviews of Romero's co-workers, suggest the company had a slipshod approach to workplace safety. In 2000, OSHA visited Michelangelo's production plant and found 50 safety violations. Among them, the company willfully violated federal safety standards by inadequately training Spanish-speaking employees on a basic procedure called lockout-tagout. The power to dangerous equipment is supposed to be turned off and locked out by the worker himself during maintenance and cleaning. No one has yet explained why the meat grinder was running while Daniel Romero was cleaning it.
Pues la pura verdad que los entrenan, nosotros no los entrenan.
Truly, they don't train us, says a cleaning crew employee who works on the day shift and asked not to be named. They put you on the job and you've got to figure it out yourself how to do the work. The managers tell us, go work, but they don't show us how to do it. If I don't like the work, they tell me, the doors are open, you can leave, says a recently terminated employee who gave her name as Angelica. They say, we don't lack for employees. There are many others who want this work. There are several factors behind the high fatality rate among illegal immigrant laborers. One is the construction boom. During the high-flying 90s, there was simply more work, and construction is the occupation with the highest number of fatalities. Another reason is that employers know federal penalties for health and safety violations are weak. For example, 2 years ago, OSHA trumpeted its proposed fine of more than $160,000 against Michelangelo's Gourmet Foods. The company eventually negotiated the penalties down to less than 12% of the original fine. And then there are the immigrants themselves. They frequently do not speak English, have less than a high school education, and come from a culture that is indifferent to workplace safety. Jose Hernandez is a Mexican-born former construction worker who now works as a safety trainer in Dallas.
There's no safety training in Mexico. In Mexico, it's get it done, just whatever it takes, just get it done.
That's the attitude that they bring to job sites here in the States.
Yes, they do bring that. If a supervisor, a foreman, or whatever says, you get on that scaffold no matter what, a lot of these guys do it.
Construction companies cannot get away with sloppy safety practices on a high-profile, tax-funded public project like the $2.5 billion expansion of Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport. OSHA is constantly watching, and the agency has praised DFW contractors for their low injury rates. Here, every Latino construction worker must receive 40 hours of safety training in Spanish on topics such as safety harnesses, fall protection, and the proper use of a heavy-duty nail gun. Perennially understaffed, OSHA inspectors tend to concentrate on large commercial construction projects, like DFW Airport. They miss residential work sites and smaller contractors, where, as it turns out, most Latino immigrants work. On February 15th of last year, a 31-year-old laborer from Oaxaca, Mexico, named Alberto Hernandez, was climbing a ladder to install shingles on a residential house in Denton, Texas. The ladder slipped, Hernandez fell 18 feet and landed on his back on the concrete foundation. His employer, who paid his workers in cash and carried no insurance, has washed his hands of the entire incident. Today, Alberto Hernandez sits in a wheelchair, paralyzed from the chest down. So far, his care at the Dallas County Charity Hospital has cost taxpayers $426,393 and counting.
You arrive here looking for a better future, but unfortunately, it doesn't happen that way. You go to work for a contractor, and as long as you're well, everything is fine. But if you fall or get injured, that's the advantage they have in hiring people like us. We can't fight for ourselves. This is how contractors exploit people without papers.
Hernandez lives in a one-room, $400-a-month apartment in North Dallas with his mother, Francisca. She came up from Oaxaca to care for him, to fix his meals, and change his catheter every 4 hours.
Pues que se recupere, mijo. Porque como... Es mi hijo lo que está conmigo. No puedo hablar de eso. Me da mucha tristeza que está mi hijo. Yo lo miraba.
I want my son to recover. It's hard to speak of this. It's so painful for me to see him this way. He was such a good son, and look at how he's now. He needs me all the time.
Hernandez passes the days watching TV, wheeling himself to the convenience store for snacks, and waiting for a doctor who might operate on his back, waiting on a lawsuit against the roofing subcontractor and the home builder, both of whom have denied liability. His lawyer, Chuck Noteboom of Hearst, Texas, says these types of construction injury cases are commonplace.
I just think people want to turn their head the other way and pretend that we don't have this extremely large workforce. We want to pretend that they don't exist, especially when they get killed or they get paralyzed.
Occupational safety specialists in government, medicine, academia, private industry, and the trade unions are well aware of the dramatic increase in fatalities among immigrant workers. In the past 2 years, OSHA, construction trade groups, and Mexican consulates have created Hispanic outreach programs to penetrate this shadowy labor force of the undocumented to make them aware of American safety standards. But as one safety expert concedes, it's challenging because this is a group, by its nature, that lives below radar. John Burnett, NPR News, Austin.